Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. This school year, Texas students are being told that they need to put their phones away, and this time they're serious because it is the law. The 89th Texas State Legislature passed House Bill 1481. It restricts students from use of their personal communications devices on school property during the school day for all grade levels. That means smartphones, tablets, smartwatches, anything else that tech comes up with next has got to be put away. We're joined by Maureen Mullick. She joins us. She is the founder of David's Legacy Foundation. Maureen was an advocate for this school phone ban. Maureen, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Nice to be here today.
Tell me about David's Legacy Foundation and why you thought that this law would be a continuation of the needs that have come up.
Well, let me start off by telling the story of what happened to David. And I think that the backstory really tells the reason why I was very interested in getting behind this bill. So in 2017, I lost my 16-year-old son, David, to suicide after months of threatening and relentless cyberbullying by a group of classmates at his school here in San Antonio. Much of the cyberbullying occurred on campus during lunch and passing periods. That's when it started, and then it worked its way to the virtual space outside of the school day, but originated at school. The year before the cyberbullying started, David was not in a very good mental health state. He was addicted to social media and online gaming, which made him vulnerable to the cyberbullying that occurred on his school campus. And so after David died, it took us a while to be able to really function. But once we were able to, we worked with the Texas legislature to pass David's law. And since then, I've been active in Texas, really trying to work on enhancing David's law as well as protecting kids in the virtual space. And our mission at David's Legacy is to end the cyberbullying and all forms of bullying of children and teens through education, legislation, and legal action.
Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you have a question or comment about the cell phone ban, smart technology ban in Texas schools. So talk about how you see this ban that was became law, how that is an extension of the work that you've done already. Do you think this ban is going to help children?
Absolutely do. I would not have been behind the measure if I didn't think that it was going to have a positive impact, not only on the mental health and well-being of students, but also to reduce distractions and improve our educational outcomes, which we need across the state of Texas. You know, after COVID, we saw a real social decline with our young people being able to interact with one another. And this way of removing these distractions for 7 to 8 hours a day is a way that we can gain some of those social skills that need some enhancing moving forward. You know, I don't like calling it a ban. I prefer to call it a prohibiting the use during the school day, which means from first bell to last bell, giving those students those 7 to 8 hours of interaction and a good learning environment.
Well, tell me how, I guess every school district will be a little bit different in how they handle this, or is it really spelled out on the application? How do you see it working?
Yeah, so the bill is very clear. The school day and TEA's guidance, as well as TASB, Texas Association of School Boards guidance, legal guidance, is that the school day means first bell to last bell. So we're seeing school districts across the state complying with the definition of school day, as I just stated. And where there's flexibility is really on the storage method and the discipline consequences. And so we wanted to make sure that schools had the flexibility to be able to meet those storage needs. So we have school districts that are requiring those devices to be turned off and stored in a backpack or a purse. We are also seeing them needing to be stored in lockers. Some schools are electing to buy storage pouches or create docking stations for, and some schools are using those shoe racks that hang on the backs of doors for kids to come in and plop their phones in those storage units throughout the school day. So there is some flexibility on storage, and then there's also flexibility regarding discipline. We have seen where some schools are taking a really strong stance on the discipline, as well as confiscating the device, calling a parent, requiring a parent to come and pick up that device. Or have seen some school districts that have a more of a lax discipline policy where they're providing a warning, first and second warning, when they're seeing that device out during the school day, and then maybe by the third violation, they're seeing that device being taken up. So there is some flexibility there.
I have an email question from a listener, Randall. He writes, as a retired teacher, I can see the merits of no cell phones or Apple Watches, etc. One thing that might be a challenge, though, the last dozen years, schools have promoted laptops, specifically Chromebooks, per one per student that they can carry all the time. They are communication devices, too, that can be under the radar of the teacher. So your response?
Yeah, so the bill actually addresses that for school-issued devices. Those issued devices are typically really locked down, and they're only used for certain applications related to instruction. And so that gives the school more ability to make sure that what's happening on those devices are keeping our kids safe. And as well as enhancing their learning environment. So that is absolutely addressed in that bill.
One of the things I hear about with this bill was necessary because of the distraction that these smart devices were causing in classes. I guess kids were on their phones during class. I mean, was that the concern as well? What was happening?
Yeah, we often would see that. Students would have their phones out on their desk or in their pocket. With the hundreds of notifications that are going off on a daily basis, kids were picking up their devices and checking their devices regularly. We even found that some students were gaming on their devices during class, as well as watching Netflix in class. And this policy is uniform, statewide, so it eliminates any where the teacher has to be the phone police. It really is a way for the expectation for all students across the state is to have those devices turned off and away for the day. And it allows for, even if a student should have their phone in their pocket, you're still feeling those notifications go off, and your mind as a young person is often thinking about what is that notification. So this really does remove that distraction piece, as well as the one of the reasons why the smartwatch is considered also in the measure.
Well, the teachers still will be the phone police, but now they have more authority behind them and telling them they need to put that away, right?
I would say yes and no. What we're seeing is that a lot of school districts are telling teachers, it's not, you don't have to take that device up. You call administration or send an email right away, and we will come and we will take up that device from that student. So it's not the teacher's responsibility. It's administration's responsibility to remove that. And the overwhelming support that we've received from teachers especially are so thrilled that they have students who are more engaged. They are note-taking. They are turning assignments in on time. Last year, with some of the schools that were doing this proactively on their own, saw increase in test scores. We saw fewer discipline referrals for cyberbullying, vaping, and fighting in schools, which were often filmed using those personal devices during passing periods and then uploaded to social media and going viral throughout the school day. So being able to see a reduction. So it's been an overall win-win for everybody.
I saw that there is a medical exception for the, what's the medical exception? Why would I need that for a phone for medical exceptions?
I think some students who have maybe have diabetes or another medical condition that might require them to check, you know, blood sugar or to take medicine on a regular basis. There are various apps that students may have to use for a medical condition. So if they have an excuse from a licensed medical professional, they can be exempt from that, as well as a student that has a 504 or an IEP or a similar policy in place would be allowed to use their device if that was required.
What does that mean, the 504? What is that?
A 504 is a Section 504 plan for a child who may have a disability. And if a phone is required for that disability, then there also can be a medical. That's also considered an exception.
But I'm sure that all that is run through the administrative traps and they know if it's legitimate or not.
That's correct. Yeah, the 504 is usually in place before the school year, or the IEP, which is the individual education plan of a student. And if in those plans is written that the student needs to have their device, then that's an allowable exception.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. It's a 1 minute break. We're going to continue our conversation talking about the prohibition of having smart devices with Texas students in our classrooms and what that looks like, how that works. And if you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues after this.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Independent journalism needs protection, now more than ever. Leaving a gift to TPR in your will helps ensure thoughtful, fact-based news has a future in Texas. Learn more at tpr.org/legacy.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a law that was passed in the most recent regular legislative session that prohibited the use of students with personal communication devices on school property. We're joined by Maureen Mullock. She is the co-founder of David's Legacy Foundation in San Antonio, and she was a strong advocate for this law. If a question or comment, you can call in 833-877-8255. So, Maureen, a lot of people are concerned about when there are emergencies on campus. Of course, we all heard the terrible, heartbreaking 911 calls that happened during the Uvalde shooting. And people think that those, you know, phones, having them with students could be a public safety device. It could be a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with that. That's why we're seeing most school districts are telling the student that they need to have that device turned off and in their backpack so that it is still accessible to them in an emergency situation. So the policy is written with that exception in there. It states that schools must make an exception for student use of the devices when it's necessary to comply with a legal health or safety requirement or to implement the school system safety protocols. So there is an exception for that, and I completely understand where parents are coming from. I also know that most schools and in every classroom either has a cell phone or a landline in that classroom, as well as for other types of situations where a student may need to get a hold of a parent, they can go to the school office to make that call. And then, of course, using those Chromebooks, emailing your parents, and the parent can email the child if there is any update on the school pickup or something else that's going on in the family that the student needs to know about. So there are certainly ways to be able to make sure that we are still in touch with our student throughout the school day without using those cell phones mm-hmm. on that person.
Let's go to caller, John. And John, you're on the air.
Hello. These kids are going to live with these devices for the rest of their lives. Would it be better to teach them how to manage them rather than just take them away during the school day? We just saw children drowned because they didn't have devices that could warn them in Kerrville. It feels very anti-tech hysteria to me. Why not just teach them? Why not have a class? I took a typing class. Why not have a class to teach them how to manage this stuff?
Well, John, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate your point of view. And Maureen Mullick?
Sure. I mean, I've heard that. And I think that we can teach them how to use these devices without actually having that device sitting in front of them, when we know that social media is not designed safely and our kids are, you know, being contacted by strangers, by drug dealers. Actually, we even have drug dealers that have gone to schools because of the snap maps on these devices. We have kids who have been sextorted on these devices and blackmailed on them. And so, you know, it's our duty to protect our kids and their well-being. And until there are some, until Congress steps up and passes laws that actually require social media platforms to design their platforms with children's safety in mind, we have to do what we can do. And that's how Texas has decided that they want to make sure that our kids are being able to learn throughout the school day. And one other issue that was really came into play regarding these cell phones was the amount of cheating that was occurring using these devices during classroom time. And kids were sharing pictures of tests and answers through text, as well as through pictures. And this just removes their ability to be able to do that in the classroom. You know, all schools are required to teach digital citizenship to their students. And part of that, as well as what's in our health teaks, is around digital wellness and making sure that our kids understand that the business model of social media, as well as the addictive nature of these cell phones and how they're designed, is really not what we would want for our young people. And if we can remove that distraction from them, like, they're gonna have it all the other hours of the day, and then that's a parent's responsibility to allow their child to have it for as long as they want them to be able to access that information. This is just when you're in our public schools and we want you here to learn and we want you to socialize in a meaningful way with character, that is what we're going to do in the Texas schools.
I have another email from a listener, Pat. My sister was a sixth grade math teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. She found some kids had one, sometimes even two, burner phones. She would see who had them by the smirk on their faces when she confiscated them. I think the point of that is that kids will try to find a way to push back and subvert these new policies, this, you know, prohibition, and they're going to be very inventive. So how do you think they're going to respond to all that?
Well, I mean, we're always going to have kids that are going to push the envelope and try to get away with that. That's not changed over generations. But I do feel like these schools, with their clear discipline policies, and if they're enforcing those policies. So when a student has two and three, burner phones, and those phones get taken up during the school day, that will be another infraction. And some schools are even saying after four infractions, you're no longer allowed to bring a device to school, or you're, you know, going to be in DAEP or suspended. We even have some schools that have suspension as a discipline for this. So schools mean business, and they know the positive outcomes that can occur, and we will see our kids this gift of engagement that they will have because of what we're doing here.
And how are parents reacting to this new law?
I mean, I think, you know, from what I'm gathering, it's about 50-50. I mean, there are some parents that really feel strongly about being able to connect with their kid throughout the school day. And I understand that. And I think that it'll be difficult for the first couple of 2-3 weeks. But after everybody gets in the groove and realizes that the sky is not falling, I can still get a hold of my kid. My kid can still get a hold of me. We have ways that we can communicate through the student Chromebooks. as well as calling using the school lines. You know, we're even hearing across the state, you know, like this is not just a new thing just for Texas. I mean, there's about 20 states across the United States who have bell to bell, first bell to last bell policies in place for K through 12 schools. So this is not just something just Texas oriented. And there's a dozen or so more more states right now that are in the process of passing similar legislation. So we're seeing this all over the United States because the school districts were asking for it. They wanted this policy in place so that they could tell this was going to be their school policy, and parents could reach out to their legislators if they had any concerns about it. But we feel like all of the exceptions, there may need to be some tweaks to the bill moving forward, but the exceptions that are there for kids that have a medical need, for any kind of a disability in their plan there, as well as any kind of emergency protocol is being addressed. So this is really about a gift of engagement and a gift of education free of notification.
How long had you been working on getting this law passed?
Well, it's been something that I've been working on for several years, but it wasn't until this last session, and I'm sure some of your listeners have read The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, that really spurred a lot of legislators who read the book, as well as school boards who read it. And that's one of the four key items that Jonathan Haidt recommends, is that we owe it to our young people for their mental health and well-being to give them a distraction-free learning environment for 7 to 8 continuous hours of the school day.
Well, some kids do not like this law at all. I've heard about petitions that the kids have passed around thinking that they'd be able to, you know, bring about some sort of reform or, you know, cancel the law, or I don't know, or just voice their objection to it all. Sure. What do you want to tell those kids?
Well, first of all, we had a lot of kids that came and testified on behalf of the bill. So we understand that there are groups of kids out there that are rallying around wanting to have their devices. But just, you know, this takes the onus off of the school district. This is a law in Texas, and it's not just the school is abiding by the law that says that students should not have possession of those personal communication devices throughout the school day. And if young people want to go visit with their legislators and senators and those offices and voice their opinion or send an email, they certainly can. That's a great way for them to get involved in this process. But I think if we do a good job of explaining to both parents and young people why this is so important, and that it's not just, that this is not based on, this is not a punishment, that this is actually a gift of engagement and it's going to help them later on in life, then we're doing a better job being able to articulate that.
All right, so the bell rings, kids gotta put away the phone or the smartwatch or the tablet, those things like that, and then they gotta pick up the old books and pen and paper and get to work. That's the idea.
That's right.
All right, Maren Mollack, thank you so much. Co-founder of David's Legacy Foundation here in San Antonio, talking about the new prohibition on personal communication devices, bell to bell on school grounds. Thank you so much for telling us all about this, Maureen.
Thank you, David.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.